Very good. Well, I enjoyed having my father here last week. I don't know how many of you remember back that long time ago. 1 week ago. He is such a blessing, and I don't get to hear him very often. So I appreciate when I do get to hear him. And I always have to laugh when people compare me to him. And they tell me how great my preaching is and my Bible knowledge. And I would agree the apple fell from the tree, same tree, but I think that tree must have been on the side of a hill, and there must have been a strong gust of wind just as the apple fell off, and it must have hit the ground and rolled for a while. But I think he's got many more years of wisdom and experience, and so, but I enjoy hearing him and just his style, and I've heard him all my life. I enjoy his teaching. I don't get to him very often, though, but that's a blessing. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Genesis. In chapter 12, Genesis 12, if you don't have your Bible and you grab the pew Bible in front of you, that's page 15. Genesis chapter 12. I'm thankful to hear those rustle of pages. It means that technology has not taken over this church yet. I know the kids with their cell phones in Sunday school, I'm like, what are you doing? That's not a Bible. But anyway, they would disagree, I'm sure. Genesis chapter 12, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray as we look at this text of Scripture, you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to see what you want to communicate to us. And Lord, we're thankful that you loved us enough to tell us what we need to know. Help us to be submissive to what you have. In Christ's name, amen. What if God came to you and he asked you to pack up everything that you own, to leave your friends, your family, and to go to a country to be named later, to start a whole new life? How many of you would jump at the chance to do this? Pack up, by the way, those of you who don't like to pack, I'm probably in the very top of that group. As far as, I think I'd rather go to the dentist than have to pack one box. For me, that's just torture. But could you imagine packing up everything that you owned, and you didn't know where you were even headed or what you were going to do, and you said goodbye to all your family and friends, you'd never see them again, and you're just leaving? How many of you would actually want to do this? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. How many of you would be willing? How many of you would trust the Lord and say, if the Lord called me to do it, he'll bring me joy in this, whether I see it or not? How many of you would do this? I can't go much further without talking a little bit about my parents. You know, my parents being missionaries, they left their home. We lived in the same house for 15 years. They sold their house. They packed everything in a U-Haul, and we left to raise support. When they left our house, they had raised 4% of their support. So basically, there was no money there. I don't know what they were going to do. I guess we could have sold the violins. I wouldn't have objected. My sisters might have said something. But yeah, just stepping out on faith like that. How many of us would do this? And yet, this is one of the men of greatest faith of all time, Abraham. This is what Abraham did. Abraham truly lived by faith. He trusted God. When God said to leave Ur of the Chaldees, he packed up his stuff. He packed up Sarah. Well, back then it was Sarai and Abram. But for the sake of this message, I'll say Abraham and Sarah because it's simpler. But Abraham and Sarah, they're going to pack up all their stuff, and they're not even sure where they're going. But they know God has called them to leave, and so they're gone. And they're willing to leave and go where God has called them. I want to talk to you today about living by faith. Now, living by faith is not easy because it requires the fact that we can't see something. If we could see it, it wouldn't be faith. And many times we have to trust God's vision for what he has for us. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, we have to trust God's vision because God sees around the corners of life. And he will guide and direct us if we will put our faith and trust in him. So I want to talk to you today about living by faith and the example of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to start in verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And go into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. So we have this example of Abraham leaving everything. Now, Abraham is our example of someone who lives by faith. Now, faith is realizing that you cannot see everything that's important. We have to rely on what God can see. And so we put our trust in God. By faith, I'll do what God leads and directs me, assuming that he knows something that I do not. And so I'll have faith in what God has said. God has said this, therefore I will believe this and I will act upon this. This is faith. I think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path, okay? I don't know as much as he does. I'll let him be the boss. Many years ago, I had a humbling job, and it was very good for my character. Made me very tired, though. I worked in a fiber factory, and we made fiber that goes in fiber cable. And it's a very confusing job and a very confusing process. It's one of those jobs where people ask you what you do. You take 10 minutes, and they're more confused than when they first ask. So I won't try to confuse you with all the things that we did. But we had to run all of these tests. All these different kinds of lines. We had to do splices and all kinds of things, and strength tests, and integrity tests, and coding tests. And the process was endless, and the paperwork was endless. And I had another Christian man that I worked with, and I would tell him every day how dumb the job was, how dumb the processes were. I didn't think the supervisor we had was very bright, in my opinion. And the whole process, I would tell him each day, it would take many hours to do all these tedious, tedious tests. And they just seemed useless to me. And so I would tell, when I would tell us the older Christian man about my frustration, he would tell me each day, Micah, no one's paying you to think. They're paying you to follow the process. Okay, go back to my machines, run my processes. You know what? Many times in the Christian life, I think we try to figure everything out. It has to make sense, or I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be embarrassed or end up at a dead end somewhere, so I'm going to control what happens here. No. The Christian life is about obedience, okay? God knows more than we do. It doesn't always make sense, okay? Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But Abraham is someone that was willing to trust God. Even when it didn't make sense, even when he couldn't figure it out, Abraham was going to do it. I want to talk to you today about living by faith. What does it look like to live by faith, okay? The Christian life is a life of faith. God blesses faithful people. What does it look like? How do I know I'm one of those, okay? If a faithful person walked in this room, how would we identify him or her? What's distinguishing about them? Okay? I want you to notice, first of all, what does it look like to live by faith? Number one, it's going to mean leaving the comfortable. Leaving the comfortable, okay? Leaving the comfortable, the things that make you feel at home, the things that make you feel at ease. If you're really going to follow Christ above all else, you're going to have to let go of things that make you feel good and warm and fuzzy. You might have to go out into the cold snow, okay? This is not always going to be a pleasant thing to follow Christ. I look at the example of Abraham. Where does he leave? He leaves Ur. Now, the area that this country would have been located is probably the area that Babylon was later located. A beautiful area. This is Mesopotamia. This is the Fertile Crescent. This is in between the Tigris and the Euphrates. I mean, this is top real estate in the ancient world. This would have been a very advanced civilization, okay? This was a beautiful area that he lived in. And we read in the preceding verses, this is where his family is, okay? You've got family there. Who wants to leave family? Hopefully, you're supposed to say, not us. But anyway, yes, he has all his comforts of home. He has a beautiful location that he's in, and yet God tells him to uproot and go somewhere, but I'm not telling you where exactly. Does this sound like something comfortable to do? The Christian life is often leaving things that make us feel comfortable or things that make us feel at ease? Are there certain types of ministry that you don't really enjoy doing? You know, that's not really me, okay? Or, sometimes I say, I don't really have the gift of mercies. You know, there's certain people, like my wife, right? We'll go into a restaurant and we'll sit down, like it could be McDonald's, and somebody will walk over and tell her their life story and everything that ever bad happened to them because they see she's such a loving, I don't know why they follow her everywhere. But anyway, she's such a loving, kind person that people are going to be attracted to this, okay? And that's some people get. But you know what? The Lord wants me to be like that too. And it's easy for us to say, that's just not who I am, you know? I'm not comfortable doing this. I could never do this. I could never have this ministry. I could never stand in the pulpit. I think I would melt and die. You will not melt and die. People might laugh. But you will not melt and die. The Lord can use us. The Lord often pushes us out of. The Lord will bring up things, okay? And sometimes I feel like there's things I don't want to do, and it's like dumped in my lap. It's like, you know, there's an office across the hall. You can go knock on that door and say the same thing. But you had to come knock on my door, okay? This is the Lord put this in my lap. I have to handle this. The Lord will often put us in places that make us feel uncomfortable or send us places, you know, you don't really want to go there. I don't want to deal with that person or that kid. You know, I don't want to have to deal with that. This is not exciting to me. And yet oftentimes, what's the Lord do? The Lord pushes us or something comes up and we're forced to leave our comfort zone. We're forced to leave our sense of security, our sense of perhaps even selfishness at times when we want things a certain way and God will push us away from what makes us feel at home. If you're going to live a life of faith, you're going to have to leave the comfort zone. You know, being human, we try to find circumstances that make us feel good and we like to hide behind those, okay? We try to arrange our life, arrange our schedule, arrange our home, arrange our friends, okay? Don't get too close to that person. They're needy. That's what we like to do. We want to arrange things so that we can feel comfortable and so that we can take care of ourselves. You know what? As long as you're comfortable, I'm guessing God's probably not using you, is he? Because you're taking care of yourself at that point, and you're focused on your own needs. You're not focused on helping other people. No, oftentimes the people God uses are the ones that feel inadequate and out of their depth. And that's when God uses us, right? Whenever we realize, I can't do this. And then you're asking for help. And then the Spirit gives you power. And the Lord can help you, right? But it's as long as we're comfortable, God's not going to use us. As long as we're just talking to our little group of friends, our little cliques. They've done studies at churches, by the way. And they find that in smaller churches, people talk to more friends. They find that the bigger the church is, the fewer people you talk to. Because you can hide, you know this? You can have your pew, you can slip in, you can slip out. You don't have to pray with anyone or talk to anyone or help anyone. And this is a sin, this is wrong. But the Lord does not want us to do this. The Lord wants us to leave our comfort zone. We need to put our dependence on him. God can help us do things that we don't think we can even do. Question for you. What is God calling you to surrender? What's that thing that you're hanging on to because you're comfortable with it? Is it money? Is it, you know, I have to have this job to make this income, and I can't switch, even if the Lord is moving me. Is it a piece of property? Perhaps it's a vehicle. I have to have that car, or I have to have these clothes. Is it your reputation? What will people think of me? I don't feel comfortable talking about Christ like this. What in your life is more important than Christ? Where is your sense of comfort that you hang on to? I would encourage you believers to be like Abraham and release it. Let go of it and let God bless you. As long as you're making yourself comfortable and you're taking care of yourself, God isn't going to use you. So I would encourage you, be like Abraham, leaver of the Chaldees. You know what? Abraham had all kinds of adventure and fun. That would have never happened if he had stayed put. God's not going to use him in Ur. He was no good there. But when he leaves, that's when all kinds of adventure happens, and that's when all kinds of excitement happens, and that's where he's tested. So my encouragement to you is, if you're going to live a life of faith, you're going to have to be uncomfortable at times. That's the first sign of living by faith. Let's look at the second sign. What does it look to live by faith, number two? It means you're going to have to live with uncertainty. Who likes uncertainty here? The waiting process, not knowing, you know? Especially if you have several options and they're both bad. It's like, will I be stabbed or shot? You ever have that feeling? You're like, I know it's something bad. I don't know how bad, though. Like if you get a, you know you're going to get a big bill in the mail, you're like, I don't know how big it's going to be, but I'm guessing I don't want to know. You know what? If you're going to live by faith, there's going to be a times of uncertainty. There's going to be things that are unknown. Remember Abraham? He leaves his secure house. He travels. He lives in a tent. The rest of his life, he's living in tents. Tents are temporary. He has a temporary existence. How many of you would like to live in a tent the rest of your life? There's probably a couple. Yeah, there we go. A couple of you. No one that's an adult, though. But yeah, it'd be fun maybe for a week or two. The temporary deal. That gets, you ever, you know what really makes trouble? It can really turn a house upside down. You ever have someone come and work on your kitchen for a while and like stuff is torn up and it's like dusty in there? Yeah, that's like real stressful, right? Because then you can't get the food that you need or, you know, you have all kinds of troubles. I have lived through building projects at our house, and I will tell you, it is not enjoyable to have uncertainty and to be waiting for things. So here is Abraham, okay? He's supposed to leave. God gives him a mission, okay? And he has all these years of waiting. He's not, you know, what's going to happen? How's this going to work? He doesn't really know. He's not sure what's going to happen. He's not sure what God has in mind. He's not sure how God's going to work. He has uncertainty. You know how we want to live our lives? I have this figured out here. What would be ideal in the Christian life is for God to give you a schedule of what's going to happen from now till death, and each day have what's going to happen, what lesson you'll have to learn through which trial. Now, this trial will help me over here, and that trial will help me over here, and then to have it all laid out. And then you could look at it, and God would give you like a week or two to decide if you agreed or not. Maybe you'd cross out a couple of the trials. You know, we don't need this one right here. I'll cross this out. And then you give it back to him. Okay, I'll do what you think. This is the way I would love to live the Christian life, right? It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Sometimes I'll tell you what the Christian life feels like. It feels like when you walk down the stairs at night and there's no lights on in the living room and someone leaves a little Lego on the floor and you step on it. That's what it feels like, okay? You don't see what's coming. And a lot of times you don't see it until it's already hit you and God's already teaching you something new. And you're like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. Because you're surprised at what God has done. Many times in Scripture, God uses people who didn't know what was going on. People who lived in the dark. I think about people like Job. The entire book, Job asks one question. He's saying, why? Why this? Why is this happening to me? What did I do? And he keeps waiting for this great answer to come. And all his friends are giving him answers, and they're giving him all the wrong answers, of course. They're terrible friends. At first, they sit there and say nothing, and they're empathetic. That was good. But after that, they just blow it the rest of the book. And in the end, God is like, no, you're all wrong. You don't have any clue what you're talking about. Job is the one that's correct here. But Job has this question, why am I suffering in this way? And what's the answer to Job's question? There's no answer, is there? He never gets one. He's asking why, and God says, oh no, it's not about why, it's about who. Do you trust this guy? And Job's like, yes, you're right. You're smarter than I am. I'm going to trust you. He's not given an answer. He's always in the dark. And yet, God still blesses him in a great way. But he doesn't know this at the beginning. He doesn't know how it's going to turn out. If you'd ask Job, if you brought him to the church, why are all these bad things happening to you? He'd be like, not a clue. I'm living by faith. I don't have to see this. I think about other great men in Scripture. I think about men like Joseph, okay? Now, back in Joseph's day, God didn't speak very often. He often spoke to dreams. When he's a young man, God speaks to him. Here's a dream. Here's a vision. Boom. He runs off and shares it with his brothers. Not the smoothest of moves. He tells his brothers they're going to worship him. They're not very interested in that kind of thing. But Joseph is a man of integrity, is he not? He is an honest person. God does speak to him. And as his brothers hate him, he's sold into slavery. And when he's in slavery, how does he act? More integrity, right? He's honest. He's hardworking. And what is this? And he refuses to do anything that would hurt his master. He refuses to do any kind of sin. And how does this work out for him? Thank you. One person. Thank you for coming. Yes. He is going to go from being a slave to being a prisoner just when you think things can get any worse. Well, this isn't really working out for him, is it? If you'd ask Joseph, so what's going on here? What's like your life plan? Do you have like a 5-year, a 10-year, a retirement plan? What is he going to say to you? He's going to say, I have no idea. I don't know what's happening here. Eventually, though, When he's in prison, he has integrity. He's an honest prisoner. God uses him even in prison. He interprets the dream, and how's he rewarded? He's forgotten. Thank you. Yeah. How do you think that fell for him? He probably needs to watch one of those Osteen videos or something, get his self-esteem up or something at this point. He's probably collapsing under the weight of all this happening to him. That's a joke, folks. That's a joke. Some of you are looking at me like I was wondering. All right, but here he is. He's doing everything right, and he's having more and more adversity, and yet eventually God will use him. Now, if you told him from the beginning the road that he would travel, he would never see where this would end up for him. He would not see how this would preserve God's chosen people, and yet he has faith. He has integrity. I think about men like Moses. The first 40 years, he's in Pharaoh's court. He's educated. He's learning. This makes sense to him. You will be the deliverer of God's people. Okay, I'm getting an education. This is great. I've got the top education. Okay, now he kills someone and he's running for his life. Okay, now for 40 years he'll be in the wilderness. What? A great leader taking care of sheep? Does this make any sense? Oh, I think Moses was done by now. Okay, God's done with me. He can't possibly use this. And yet the last 40, here he is, restored to a position of importance. But those 40 years in the middle, what is he doing? He doesn't know what he's doing. All this to say to you, when life doesn't make sense to you, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. God is using those things that you think may be unimportant. God will leave question marks in your mind. Okay? It's okay. You don't have to be in control. Somebody that's smarter than you is in control, and he will make the decisions for you. You follow him, and you'll end up where you need to go. It will all work out just fine. But this requires you to have faith. Question for you. Are you a person of faith? Is God allowed to give you question marks? Do you wait for God patiently to reveal what he has for you? Is this okay? Or do you have to be in control? You know, it's my way right now or I'm out. Is this how you are? I hope not. I hope you experience the blessing of being a person of faith and let God fill in the question marks. Excuse me. All right. The last sign of living by faith. We talked about living by faith is leaving the comfortable. Leaving faith is living with uncertainty. And last, I want you to see that living by faith is letting God have the final say. Letting God have the final say. We like to have the final say, right? We want to be the one in control and to make the final decision. If you're living by faith, though, that's God's place. So God makes with Abraham a covenant. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. It has three parts to it. God says, I will give you a land. He gives them a specific area, the promised land. Second, I will give you a large nation. They'll be like the sands of the seas, like the stars of the heaven. Innumerable. A great nation. And last, through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. We see this in Christ who died for the world's sins. But this is through his descendants. Okay? So, very good. Abraham says, very strange that you would say this. My wife is too old to have kids. Not going to happen. And so, by sight, he has his nephew, Lot. Lot didn't always make the best choices, if you've read the passage. So he says, this is it, right? This is the guy. You'll work through this guy. And God tells him, no. Okay? And he wants it to be true, but he's willing to release this. Later, Sarah has the idea that he will have a relationship with her servant, Hagar, and that Ishmael is born. Ishmael, this is the guy, right? What does God say? Nope. You can't have your way. Okay. He makes mistakes, but he's going to trust God. Finally, he will turn 100 years old. His wife will be 90. Too old, right? Not too old for God. Not too old for God here. And so God will eventually give him Isaac, the promised son. And he is so excited about this promised son, okay? This is it, right? Yes, this is it. Okay, one more thing for you, Abraham. Since you're not in control, you're living by faith, I have a job for you. I want you to go sacrifice him and offer him up on the altar. I could just imagine him praying, excuse me? Did I hear this correctly? This must have been the hardest thing he'd ever done in his life. If you've ever had kids, you know how much they mean to you. And seeing anything happen to them like this would have been heart-wrenching. And yet, this is about God having the final say, God being in control. Okay? I'm going to trust you because I know even if this child dies, if he is the one, you will raise him back to life by faith. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though you're not doing what I think you should do, I will follow what you have to say. And so he goes to sacrifice his son, and God stops him. And there's a sacrifice in the bush. And God says to him, now I know that you're serious. You really do put me first. You do trust in me. You are truly a man of faith, and I'm going to bless you for this. And God pours the blessings on this man like you can't believe, and as God does always with people of faith. Question for you. Are you following God's plan for your life? Is this about God having his way with you? Is this God get the final stamp? You know what I think we do? I think we don't necessarily obey. I think we more agree. Like if we have an authority figure in our life, that's a special authority figure, okay? I follow him because he makes sense. I agree with him. Or I follow God because I see how this will help me in the long term. We tend to agree. Question for you, though. What happens when that person you look to or when God is leading you and it stops making sense? Are you still following then? Or do they got to put out like a bulletin to try to find you? You're hiding somewhere. No. We don't just need to agree with God or do things that we think, okay, he says this, I say this, I'll split the difference. No. This isn't how it works. If you're a person that lives by faith, you will live in obedience. He has the final say. He has the final approval. God can shoot down our ideas anytime. We don't have to have our way. And a lot of times we think it's got to work, you know, 1, 2, 3, right in a row. And God will say like 6, 5, 10. And you're like, how in the world did this happen to me? Okay, I'm confused by this. But you know what? If God is leading, let's follow. Okay, let's not be the boss. Let him be the boss. Okay, he knows what he's doing. Let's live by faith. I think of the story of Ira Ogden. And her whole life, she had longed to go to the mission field. And this is what she felt God leading to. This was where her joy was and her burden. And so her whole life, she looked forward to this. And after getting her education and getting approved for support, she's very excited. And finally, she has the way prepared for her to head to the mission field. And right before she's about to leave, her father, Phil, falls deathly ill. And there's no one to take care of him, and the responsibility falls to her. And so she's taking care of her father. He's incapacitated, and he hangs on for a long time. And her whole dreams and her ambition are just crushed. Here she was just sure this is what God had for her, and yet God has completely changed the direction of what she's supposed to do. This is not what she thought. This is not what she had hoped for. And yet God has completely adjusted her life. And initially she felt bitterness in her heart. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And yet the day came when she realized, no, this is where I'm supposed to be. And this is God's mission that he's given to me. It's not what I thought it would be. It's not what I would have planned. It's not what I would have hoped for. But this is what I'm prepared for, and this is where I can make the most difference. This lady, she eventually wrote the hymn, Bright in the Corner, Where You Are. And her idea is wherever God has planted you, wherever mission God has given you, God will use that in a powerful way. You know, I think sometimes we feel like we want to make this big splash for the Lord. And we're gonna make the big difference in the church. And we're going to give a lot of money. Or we're going to bring in a lot of people. Or we're going to do something very impressive. And people will admire what we've done. I think a lot of times the Lord doesn't want us to do something that's a big splash. I think he just wants us to obey. I think he has things that are a big deal to him that we may not even see. And if we're running around trying to do things that we think are important, we're going to miss what he has for us. There are people this year that God knows right now he's preparing you for, and he wants you to witness to them this year. You may not even have met this person, but they're important to God, and there's an appointment waiting for you. If we're living by faith, if we're where we're supposed to be, you'll bump into that person, won't you? And you'll have a chance to share your testimony with them. Or there's friends God wants you to make this year. Or people that he wants you to encourage. We don't see where they are. We don't know who they are ahead of time. And yet if we're following where God has led us, we will be where we're supposed to be, won't we? I would encourage you, rather than living by sight, getting caught up on all the things that we see, let's be like Abraham. Let's just say, you know what? God's doing something. I don't understand it. Now, in this case, he gave him a specific covenant. But as God's people, I believe the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has direction and leading for each one of us. I would encourage us to be people of faith. Are you led by faith or are you led by sight? Let's bow our heads.